Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Yitzes. This is the last daf of the second parak of Bez from the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Becharos. And we left off on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah, a little bit up on the page. The Mishnah discusses various cases of Sveikos involving two animals giving birth. And really, it's just an extension of all of the same halachos and the same shitos of the previous Mishnah. We just throw in an extra animal in order to somewhat complicate matters. And therefore, the only discussion the Gemara is going to have on this Mishnah is what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. There's no other discussion to be had because we've already discussed all of the shitos that are mentioned in this Mishnah. Then the Mishnah on the top of Yotah Samar Aleph is going to discuss what happens if the firstborn is a C-section. So who is the Bechar? Is the secondborn a Bechar? It is the Peter Rechem, is the firstborn the Bechar, is neither a Bechar. So this is the concept that, known as a Bechar Ledavar Echad. And that's what the Gemara is going to be about until the end of the parak. What happens when you have a Bechar Ledavar Echad? What is the status of a Bechar Ledavar Echad, but not a Bechar Lechol Davar? So we're going to have a stira in a Brisa about the status of a Bechar Ledavar Echad, and we're going to have two answers to that stira. And then the Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak is going to discuss at what age you can assume that an animal has never given birth before, and then we're going to have three explanations why we don't follow a rove and assume that at a certain age it has vadai given birth, because after all, rove would tell us that that's what has happened. So those are the topics of today's daf. Today's daf is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we again thank him for another week of sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So we are going to begin at the Mishnah. I see my recorder is dying. Hopefully it will survive the entire Shir. Let's see. Okay, so says the Mishnah, Shtei Rechelim Shelo Bikru. If you have two Rechelim that have not yet given birth, Yoldu Shnei Zecharim, and they both give birth to male offspring. So Shneim Lekoin, then there's no Shaila, and obviously both of them go to a Kohen, because they are both a Bechor Vadai to their mother. In fact, Tosos raises the question on Daf Tesa Mar Aleph, that's a Davar Pashut. Obviously, Shneim Lekoin. It's just a, you know, and if there are three that haven't given birth, and there are three males that are born, then all three are Lekoin. It's just it's the same din as the basic din of Bechor, just saying that it happened to two animals. So Tosos suggests that there's Makom to say that one of them was Tinfa, and the Vlad was Nimok B'me'eha, and the Shneim, and both of the Zecharim were born from the other one. Meaning, what happened? You didn't see the birth. You left two animals that were pregnant, and they looked like they were about to give birth. You came back, there were two animals that were not pregnant, and two baby boys. So the Mishnah is telling us, good, that's what happened. One baby boy came from one, the other one came from the other. No, but how do you know? Maybe one of them had a miscarriage, and the other one had twins. So since there is always that possibility, and it would turn out there was only a Bechor Echad, so in order therefore, especially since the Yisrael is the one with the Chazakah, so that's why the Mishnah has to tell me that no, we assume what naturally would have happened, what's the most likely scenario, is that each one had a Bechor. Another Teretz Tosa says is that the Tana likes to explain all circumstances, even though not all circumstances have a chiddush, meaning it's telling us what happens if you have two animals, and now it's going to describe, you know, when you come back, you leave two pregnant animals, you come back, what are all the different circumstances that could happen? So the first most basic circumstance is that they both have zacharim, and they are both a bechar, but in a chinami, there's no chiddush in that. Zachar nekeva, you come back and one of them is a zachar, the other one is a nekeva. So again, a zachar the kohen, then the zachar goes to the kohen. Tos brings a raya from this case, that it's the derech of the Tana to mention every single possible case, even though there's not a chiddush in all of them, because this one it's really hard to come up with what the chiddush would be, to tell meaning of beyond the first case, right? So even if you have some sort of teretz of that there's a chiddush in the first case, what's the chiddush over here? That one of them is, what?
Could be the same thing, that the first one was a girl.
Yeah, one but then it's not a new chiddush, right? Then it's not another chiddush, then it's just repeating the same chiddush of the first, right? In a chinami, it would be a different result, but it wouldn't be a different chiddush. So in this case, it doesn't seem to be adding a chiddush la'alacha. So okay, and therefore, since when it's when 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 it's a zachar in a keva, the zachar goes to the kohen. Shnei zacharim in a keva. Now we start complicating things. You don't know there are two males born and one in a keva, and you don't know if the shnei zacharim are bechorim from the each animal in the keva is a second born, or maybe the nekeva is a firstborn to one of the animals. So echadah, one of the zacharim you get to keep because it's a suffix. Maybe it was born after the zachar. Or after the Nekeva, and it's not a Bechor. Maybe it's a second born, the Echad LeKohen. But there's at least one Zachar that's Vadai LeKohen, because there's at least one Zachar that's Vadai, yes, a firstborn. So now, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Tafrinomer, HaKohen Bar Lo Asayafa. Ooh, once you have a case where only one of the two male animals is going to go to the Kohen, so which one goes to the Kohen? So Rabbi Tafrin says, just like he did in the previous Mishnah, the Kohen chooses the better animal. Why? So we explained in the Gemara, this is before Rabbi Tafrin changed his mind, that mistama, we assume the stronger animal is the one that was born alone or the one that pushed his way out first. Meaning either because he was the, you know, twins tend to be a little smaller than a single birth, so either the strongest, fattest animal was the one that was born alone, or even if it was a twin, it would have pushed his way out ahead of the other one. Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishamnin Benein. Rabbi Kiva says that the din Torah between them is about the fat difference between one of them and the other, and therefore the Bailim is the Muchzak on it, because the Bailim could say to the Kohen, bring a raya that the Shamein is the Bechor, and then you could take it. Amotzi Mechavero, Allah Faraya. And that, therefore the Bailim gets to keep the fatter one. Vasheni Yira Adji Yistaiv. And the second one that remains, Biyada Bailim, should graze until it develops a mum, because it's a Safik Bechor, and it's also to eat it before it develops a mum. Vechayiv Bimatanos. When the Bailim shechts it, he has to give the Kohen the Zro L'chayim and Keva, just like shechting a Behemas Chulin, and we already explained, because the Kohen can come with the Miman of Shech. He could say, if it's a Bechor, so Kula Shali, the whole thing belongs to me. And if it's not a Bechor, so it's Chayiv and Matanos, so give me the Zro L'chayim and Keva. Rabbi Yossi Potter. Rabbi Yossi says, you're not Chayiv and Matanos, and we also explained that, we're going to explain right now, actually, we've already explained yesterday, that since since even if the Bechor is the one that the Yisrael has, the Kohen was mekabel something in exchange for it, because the Kohen has the other animal. So the Chacham are misakin that we view it as if there was a transaction that took place. They've already given the Bechor to the Kohen, and then he's sold it back to you after it developed the mum, in which case you'd be pater from Atanos. So that's the way we view it, even though that physical exchange hasn't really happened. Meis Echad Mehen, if one of them dies before you give it to the Kohen, Rabbi Tafrin Omer Yachloku, that they split the surviving animal. Because Rabbi Tafrin, in this stage, is retracting his original Shita. His original Shita is that the strongest animal must be the Bechor, and therefore it wouldn't matter if Meis Echad Mehen, you just look at which one was Meis. But now he's saying differently. Now he's saying that it's a Suffolk, which animal is the Bechor, and Misafik, we say that they should be Cholik Beinehem, because the Behemos are considered to be Omeid B'chatzar Shal Shnehem. And that was a discussion we had yesterday as well. What does it mean if the Behemos in the Chatzar of the Bailim, so then he's the Mochzak? So we said, no, the Behemos are Omeid in the Chatzar Shal Shnehem, so if one of them dies, they're both Mochzak, and therefore you have to split it. Rabbi Kiva Omer Hamotzi Mechavero Allah Faraya. He views it as if they're standing in the Chatzar Shal Balabayis, because it's and since it's a Safek, who the stronger one belongs to, we say Amotzi Mechavero Allah Faraya. So or who the living one belongs to, we say Amotzi Mechavero Allah Faraya. So when one of them dies, the Balabayis is Muchzak, and that was a discussion we had yesterday. Why it is that Rabbi Tarfon views it as if it's Chatzar Shal Shnehem, whereas Rabbi Akiva views it as if it's the Chatzar of the Balabayis. Do we assume that naturally the Balabayis is Maskir Chatzero to the Roa, to the Kohen, who's the Roa, who's taking care of his animals in order to be Kona, because of Nichale Le'inish, Love and Mitzvah of Amone, because of this Chazaka that we assume that people are always happy to do mitzvahs with their money? Of course, that concept of Nichale Le'inish, Love and Mitzvah of Amone, I don't recall if we mentioned it, but that concept appears in Shulchan Aruch. That concept appears in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tefillin, I think, where the Shulchan Aruch tells us that you walk into Shul and you don't have your own talis and tefillin, but you see a talis talis and tefillin lying there, so you're allowed to take it. Why are you allowed to take it and use it? You're not allowed to take it out of the shul and keep it. You're allowed to use it. Why are you allowed to use it? Because you assume the person who's not using it would be very happy. The love of the mitzvah b'mamona. He's very happy to have a mitzvah done with his mamon. Shulchan Aruch also says that if you see a sefer lying there, you're not allowed to use it because the chazaka doesn't apply, because a sefer could rip very easily, and therefore people are very protective of their svarim. L'chara, this is a matter of chazaka, right? Of Rubid Lassa Kaman, of what people generally assume. So, and the way people generally are protective or not protective of particular items. One could argue that it has flipped, bizmanenu, that people are much more sensitive about other people using their tefillin, particularly if they're going to change the head size, yeah. Right? But or even if they roll it back in the way that you're not used to or something like that, some people are very sensitive about it. But Svarim people don't care as much about, we're not as concerned. After the invention of the printing press, we're not as concerned about the sefer, and it's not as likely to get ruined. So you have to figure out in each circumstance what the chazaka is, what the assumption is going to be. But that's the notion of nichal elin shlav and mitzvah b'mone. Achronim take it even further, that it's not only nichal elin shlav and mitzvah b'mone, even if it's not a mitzvah, you can make an assumption that a person doesn't have hakpada on certain things. The Shach writes in Chosh Mishpat, for example, if let's say I have a very close friend, and he lands in JFK, and he comes to my house, and I'm not home, and my kids let him in the house, and a very, very close friend or a cousin or something, and he's starving or he needs a drink, he's dying of thirst, he needs a drink, and I'm not home, he can't reach me. Is he allowed to go into my fridge and take a drink? So that's Kaneva. How could he go into my fridge and take a drink? No, so the Achronim write that he can assume, if he knows that I'm not makvid about it, so that's not stealing. I mean, the definition of stealing is hakapata sabal. So it's not even love mitzvah, even if it's not a mitzvah, okay, that might be a mitzvah, whatever, but even if it's not a mitzvah, it's just a matter of the definition of stealing is hakpada sabal. If there's no hakpada sabal, memela, it's not going to be a problem. Okay, shtei nekevos zachar. If you have two nekevos and a zachar, o shnei zacharim ushtei nekevos, or two zacharim and two nekevos, in kal the koin klum. The koin doesn't get anything because it could be the nekeva was born first from each of these animals, and therefore there is no bachar. Achas bikra veachas lo bikra. Let's say of the two mommy animals, one of them has previously had a baby, v'yaldu shnei zacharim, and now they give birth to two zacharim, echala v'echala koin. So again, this din seems obvious. One of them, the bialim gets to keep because it came from an animal that has given birth previously, and the other one goes to a koin because it's a bechar. So, but which one goes to the koin? Which one goes to the bialim? So again, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, koin bar seyafer. Rabbi Tarfon pre-chazara, before he changed his mind, holds that the Kohen picks the better one. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mishamnin Benehem. Rabbi Akiva says that with the difference between them, the argument between them, is about the fattiness of the one over the other, and therefore the Bailim is Muchsuk on that, so the Bailim gets to keep the stronger one, and the second one is Yirat Shistayv, has to graze until it develops a mum, and then it gets eaten by the Bailim Bim Mumo. V'chayiv b'matanos, and the Bailim has to give matanos to the Kohen, as well as Chayim Kevin. Rabbi Yossi Poter, and Rabbi Yossi Patash v'matanos, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shechliv B'yar Kohen, Patam Erem Matanos. And here, finally, Rabbi Yossi actually explains his Shita. Why is it Patam Erem Matanos? Because whenever it's Khalifa B'yar Kohen, we view it as if there was a transaction that took place, that you have given the Bukhar to the Kohen, and the Kohen has sold it back to you, B'mumo. How do we view it that way? Because the Kohen does have an animal that he ended up with. So since we view it as if that transaction has taken place, that's why it's Patam Erem Matanos. Rameir Mechayev, and Rameir, as we said, is going to be Mechayev Matanos because of the Mimanavshach that the Kohen can come to you with. If it's a Bechar, the whole thing belongs to me, and if it's not a Bechar, then at least I get the Matanos. Meis Echeman, if one of the Zacharim dies, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloku. Rabbi Tarfon, changing his mind from his original Shita of making the assumption that the stronger one is definitely the Bechar, says, no, Yachloku, we don't know which one is the Bechar, and therefore you divide, they split the survival. Rabbi Kiva Omer Motzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you got to bring a raya that it is the Bechor that survives. The Kohen would have to bring a raya. In the absence of a raya, the Yisrael gets to keep it. Zachar Unakeva Ein Kan LeKohen Klum. If there was two mothers, one of them that had previously given birth, the other one that had not previously given birth, and you come back and there are two babies, one of them is a male, one of them is a female, Ain kal kohen klum. The kohen has no taina, has no claim on anything, because it could be the nekev came from the behema mevakeres, and the zachar came from the behema sheina mevakeres, from the animal that wasn't giving birth to its bechor. So therefore, you don't know for sure that there is any male bechor in the picture. Okay, so now, as we said, the Gemara doesn't have to explain any of these halachos, any of these shitos in the Mishnah, because that was the entire daf yesterday. So what is the Gemara going to do over here? The Gemara is just going to explain why we need this Mishnah. So tzricha, the Mishnah has to tell us, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon, both in the case of a rachel shelo bikra and gave birth to shnei zacharim, and shtei rechelim that give birth to a zachar and a keva, and achash bikra and achash shelo bikra, diashmin kamaisa. If we only would have been told the machlokas about a rachel shelo bikra and gave birth to shnei zacharim, but a single animal gave birth to shnei zacharim, I would have said by he come Rabbi Akiva. That's where Rabbi Akiva says that the kohen takes the weaker one, detrei mechada, because both of them clearly came from the same mother, and therefore we have a suffix if the one that was if the stronger one was born first or born second. So motzi mechaver lavaraya. Aval shtei ruchelav shelo bikru. But if they came from two separate mothers, and then you give birth to shnei zacharim and one nekeva, detrei mechada, where definitely one of them had twins, but v'chad mechada, one of them was a single birth. I would think that maybe Rabbi Akiva would be moded Rabbi Tarfon that the stronger one is clearly the single birth one, meaning the fattest of the three animals must be the single birth. Otherwise, meaning it's one thing to say that they argue in a case where there was only one animal and there were twins. Okay, so you could argue the strongest one is not always going to push his way out first. But when there's a multiple birth and a single birth, the strongest one most likely came from the single birth. So I would have thought that Rabbi Akiva would be moded in the case of our Mishnah. V'yashmin ha, and if we only would have been told the case of our Mishnah, of shnei zacharim u'nekeva from two different animals, v'hakam Rabbi Akiva, I would say that's what Rabbi Akiva says, that the kohen takes the weaker one, ditravayu lo bikru, because they're both equal in the sense that neither of them has had a bechor yet, that even though the derech of a behema, shelo bikra, is to give birth to a, its first one will be gezunt, it will be a fatter animal, but over here, we know that a weak animal came from a mivakeres, because neither one had given birth before, so we just don't know if it was the nekeva or not. Aval achas bikra v'achas shelo bikra v'yoldu shnei zacharim. But if you have an animal that has previously given birth, and another animal that has not previously given birth, and two zacharim are born, Ema, I might think, modile the Rabbi Tarfon, that Rabbi Akiva would be modile to Rabbi Tarfon, dahach de lo bikra shviach tvei, that the one that has not yet given birth is giving birth to a stronger one because this is its firstborn. So tzricha, that's why it's coming to tell me that also over here Rabbi Akiva disagrees and holds that the Kohen is not, like, does not have any chazakas and anything. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Okay, now a new Mishnah. The Torah tells us, Kaddish li kol buchar, Peter kol rechem, badum vabehim alihu. Sounds like the vlad that is poseach the rechem first, that's the one that's kadosh b'bechara. Problem is, there's another pasuk by b'chara behema, in Dvarim Tezvav, kol ha-b'chara sh'yivalid b'v'korach v'tzomcha zachar taktish l'Hashem elokecha. Nothing about Peter Rechem, just the Bechor. So the Mishnah is going to discuss what these two psukim teach us in terms of the definition of Bechor. Yotzei Dofen v'haba achrav, let's say you have the Bechor was a Yotzei Dofen, it was a C-section, and then another one was born, Derech HaRechem, after the Bechor. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Shneim Yirat Shistav. Rabbi Tarfon says they both graze until they develop a mum, v'yochlu b'mum and l'baylim, and they're eaten with their mum by the because Rabbi Tarfon holds that he's mesupik whether a bechor l'leida, which is not a bechor l'rechem like the yotzei dofen, or a peter rechem that's not a bechor l'leida like someone that like the animal that's ba'achar yotzei dofen is kadosh b'bechora olav, right? Is a bechor l'davrechem considered a bechor or not? That's Rabbi Tarfon's suffik, and therefore you have to treat them both as a suffik. Rabbi Yakiva Omer shneim in bechor. No, he's certain that neither of them has status of bechor. Harishim neishen. First one's not a Bechor because it wasn't the Peter Rechem. And the second one is not a Bechar because another one had preceded it in the birthing order. So therefore, it's not a Bechar. So whereas Rabbi Tarfon is Mesupik, whether a Bechar Lodav Recha counts as a Bechar, Rabbi Kiva is certain that a Bechar Lodav Recha is definitely not a Bechar. So B'maika Mifgi, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Tarfon is Safka Le Bechar Lodav Recha, Lihavi Bechar Ilavi Bechar. Like we just said, Rabbi Tarfon isn't sure whether a Bechar Lodav Recha is a Bechar or not. Meaning the idea is the Torah describes the Bechar in two different ways, with the word Bechar and with the word Petarechem. So when it says Bechar, is it coming to add a Yotzei Dofen into the category of Bechar as well, even though it's not a Petarechem and it's Kadosh because it is the firstborn? Or do we say that Bechar is coming to be a Mema'it, that it's adding an additional qualification, that Petarechem is not enough, you need both Petarechem and Bechar? So is it that the Torah is giving options, that it could be either a Petarechem or a Bechar, or that the Torah is adding more details, more qualifications of how to define the term Bechar? Normally, you'd wait for your kasva shlishi amachria b'nehem. What happens? You don't have a kasva shlishi amachria b'nehem. So how are you going to be machria? So that's the suffix over here that Rabbi Tarfon has. Is it that the Torah is saying one option or the other, which we do find in other places when you have shneiks of mamachishim says, and there's no kasva shlishi that's machria b'nehem. Most famously, the Torah tells us that Yom Tov is supposed to be a day that's lachem, and the Torah tells us Yom Tov is supposed to be a day that's lashem. So what are you supposed to do? Is it supposed to be lachem or is it supposed to be lashem? So you look for the third pasuk that's Mechriya B'nehem, because that's what it says in Rabbi Shmuel Omer every single morning. Where's the third pasuk that's going to tell me what the Achra is? Problem is, we can't write Pesukim, and there is no third pasuk. What do you do then? So that's what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim, that we say, options. O Kulu Hashem, O Kulu Lachem. That you, according to one sheet in Tanayim, the other sheet in Tanayim is Chatzyehu, Chatzi Lachem, Chatzi Lachem. But there's some sort of combination of the two, because we don't have anything to be Machriya. So that's Rabbi Tarfon's suffix. Rabbi Kiva, Pshitale, Bechor L'dav Recha, L'avi Bechor. Rabbi Kiva thinks it's obvious that a Bechor L'dav Recha is most certainly not a Bechor. So now, the Braisa, where the Gemara's going to record a Braisa, is a Stira about a Bechor L'dav Recha. The Braisa is actually going to use three of the midos of the 13 midos Shatar and Dreshapan that are mentioned in that Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. We're going to talk about a klal uprat that we find a lot of times the Torah has a klal and then it gives a detail or a more specific case afterwards where we assume the prat is memait the klal, that the klal is not all inclusive, it only includes masha beprat. And then we're going to have a klal atzarech leprat, that sometimes the klal is not specific enough, doesn't explain enough, and needs a prat just to explain the klal. And then we're going to have a prat hatzarech leklal, that a prat needs a klal in order to explain the prat. So we're going to give examples of each of these. So tan rabbanan miklal hatzarech leprat and prat hatzarech leklal ketzad. Where do you ever have a klal hatzarech leprat and a prat hatzarech leklal? So first case we're going to have is just a regular klal prat, and then we're going to get into that. So the Torah says kadish li kol bechor. So yachla afilu nekeva b'mashma. I might think that even a nekeva is included in kol bechor. Tamalomer zachar. That's why the pasuk tells me kol bechor sheyivali b'vkarcha v'tzoncha ha zachar takdish l'Hashem elokecha. That only a zachar has kedushas bechor, not a nekeva. That's just klal uprat. That kol bechor is the klal, zachar is the prat. Ein bechlal el mashem prat. So nekeva is out. Nekeva is not a bechor. Good. So now says the Gemara, what's a klal atzarech leprat and what's a prat atzarech leklal? E zachar, if I only would have said zachar yachla filu yatsa nikeva lefanav, I would think that the first male born, even if it was preceded by females, right? That a person has 10 daughters and then they have a son, so that's a bechor because it's the first male born. Tamalomar petarechem. That's why the pasuk has to say no, it's petarechem. That it's not considered a bechor unless it's the first out of the rechem. So that's a klal atzarech leprat because bechor is the klal. We don't know what bechor means. Does it mean a bechor even if it's a bechor only lizacharim, it's just the firstborn male, and the prat is mefarish that no, it's got to be a bechor lerechem. So now we're going to explain what's a prat hatzarech leklal. E petarechem, if I only would have had that prat of petarechem, yachlafil yatzachar yotzi dofen. So I would think the first one that came out derech harechem, even if it was born after a yotzi dofen, it was born after one that came out via a c-section. Tamalomar bechor. That's why it says bechor, that it's that it's got to be a bechor lechol davar. It's got to be the firstborn of its mother as well, and even if it was and the secondborn, even if it was the first one out of the rechem, is not included. So that's a prat hatzarich leklal. Without the klal, we would never know the mashmaus of the prat itself. So Amalei Rav Shavi El Abaye, Reisha lo kanos la Talmuda bechor. Now, in the first case, by the first case we mean we just made three drushas. The first drusha was very straightforward. It was a classic klalu prat. We're excluding that one now. So when we talk about the first drusha, we really mean the second drusha, right? So in the mitziyasa, where we're mema'it that which is ba'achar nekeva from being a bechor, we say that that which is the first male born is not a bechor. So what word in the pasuk did we say that the firstborn male is not a bechor? We did not use the word bechor to exclude the first male born. Why? Alma bechor ledavar echad havi bechor. Because that would not have necessarily excluded it. Because if the first male born is a bechor ledavar echad, so it is a bechor. So how can you exclude it from the word bechor? And since it's a bechor lezacharim, bechor would not have been enough to exclude it. Seifa kanasiv latalmud a bechor. But in the Seifa, when we were trying to be mema'it, that which is nolad after a Yotzei Dofen, in the last halach in the Braisa, and we're trying to say that which comes after a Yotzei Dofen is not a Bechar, how did we learn that? From the word Bechar! Alma Bechar ledavar echad lo avi Bechar. So apparently the word Bechar excludes even a Bechar ledavar echad. So which is it? It seems like a stira. Is the assumption that a Bechar ledavar echad is a Bechar or not a Bechar? It's a stira in the way the Braisa is darshaning. So the Gemara has two possible resolutions. So Abaye answers to Rav Shravia, Li'olam b'chor l'dover echad lo'avi b'chor. The mashmas of the Seifa is correct. B'chor l'dover echad is not a b'chor. V'reisha hachi kamar. And this is what the Reisha was saying. Here's how to be gores in the Reisha. E zachar yachal afil yotzei dofen. That if from the word zachar you would think that even yotzei dofen, and we can't be memayit that from bechor because it is a bechor lechol davar. It's the first one born. It just happens to be coming out derech hadofen, but it's mamish a bechor lechol davar. So tamalomar petarechem. That's why I need petarechem. Petarechem comes to tell me yes, it's a bechor in every sense. It's the firstborn male and the firstborn to its mother. It's a bechor in every sense, but it's not a petarechem. It's not. It didn't come through the Derech HaRechem. Ravina Omar, Ravina gives a second understanding. Li'olam b'chor l'davar echad, havi b'chor. Really, the way the Reisha sounded, or the Mitziyasa, is the most posh, that a b'chor l'davar echad is a b'chor. The Seifa, and the Seifa that's memait, that which comes after Yotzei Dofen, from the word b'chor, hachika Omar, it means to say as follows, I salka daitach, yotza acher Yotzei Dofen kadosh, if you want to think that it's that which comes after Yotzei Dofen has kedushas b'chor, then Bechor de Kasr Rachman Alameli, Bechor, which sounds like even something that's only a Bechor b'miktsas, why does the Torah have to say that word? What's the Torah teaching me with Bechor? If it's coming to be Mimai, the case where Nekeva came before it, Derech HaRechem, we meet Petarechem Nafka. We can learn that just from Petarechem. Elosh Mamina, Lemute Hecha Diotze Achri Yotze Dofen. It must be that the extra word Bechar is coming to be Mima'it, that which comes after a Yotzei Dofen. So it's not Mima'it the Yotzei Achri Yotzei Dofen from the Mashmaus of the word Bechar, because you're right, the Mashmaus of the word Bechar would not be able to teach that to me. No, it's Mima'it from the fact that the word Bechar is extra. So it's an extra word, not because of the Mashmaus of the word Bechar. The Mashmaus of the word Bechar, Be'emes, is really that a Bechar L'davar Echad is considered a Bechar. So it would not exclude a Bechar L'davar Echad. But over here it happens to have the word Bechar an extra time. So now the Gemara asks on Ravina, Amli Ravach, Midifti Ravina, Yisal Kadaitach, Bechar L'davar Echad, Avi Bechar. If you are correct that a Bechar L'davar Echad counts as a Bechar, well, Tenach, I would understand very well that we'd be Mimayit from Bechara, Hecha diyatza zachar derech dofen, v'zachar derech rechem, that if a male were born derech dofen, and then a male were born derech rechem, dilo kadosh, that it wouldn't be kadosh b'kadushas b'chara, to imut mi b'char, because we'd exclude it from the word b'char, to b'char l'rechem ika, b'char l'zacharim leka, because it is a b'char only for the rechem, but it is not a b'char l'zacharim, because there was another male born before it, just came out derech dofen. Elehechad yatsa nekeva derech dofen. But what happens if the firstborn that came out derech dofen was a nekeva, and then the zachar derech rechem, and then the secondborn that came out derech rechem was a zachar? So litnish, we should be mekadosh b'kedushas b'chora, diikah b'chor l'zacharim u b'chor l'rechem, because that is a b'chor both as far as males are concerned, it's a firstborn male, and this is the first one that came out of the rechem. So you can't exclude it from Bechar, because you can't be memayit from Bechar. It's a riboy, and it's not from the mashmaus of the word. So we should be memayit. We should only be memayit of one thing, and it's mistaver to be memayit that which is nolad after Yotze Dofen Zachar, which is a Bechor L'Rechem, and not to be Memayit that which is Nolad after Yotze Dofen Nekeva, which is a Bechor for both Zacharim and Rechem. So if the Lashon of the Braisa that we learned says Vlo Achar Yotze Dofen, it sounds like Vlo Achar Yotze Dofen regardless of the gender of the Yotze Dofen. So how are you going to account for that, Ravina? Meaning we really only should have been Memayit that which is Ba Achar Yotze Dofen Zachar, but not that which is ba'achar yotzei dofen nekeva. Because of that kasha, ele mechaverta kada abaye. The Gemara says it must be that we assume like Abaye, who said that b'char implies a b'char l'kol davar, and therefore might even that which is yotzei achar nekeva yotzei dofen. Hadron lach alokech uber paraso. And now we move on to the third parak of Maseches Becharos. So the Mishnah tells us halokech behemah menovid chavim. A person buys a behema from menovid chavim, but you don't know what its history is. You don't know if it ever gave birth or not. Ve'ni yodeh im bikra, im lo bikra. You don't know if this is an animal that has previously given birth. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Eiz Bas Shnosa Vaday Lekohen Mikan Ve'elach Safek. If it's a goat, so Bas Shnosa in its first year of life, then Vaday Lekohen. If it gives birth now, you know that that for sure goes to a Kohen, because there's no way that it gave birth prior to this animal that's born in its first year. But mikan ve'elach, any time after that, if the eiz is any older than that, then it's considered to be a suffix. If you look at Rashi, eiz bas shnasa sheyolda betoch shnasa. Bas shnasa means within its first year. That's when we consider it to be vaday to the kohen. And Rashi points out, dekodem l'chein lo yolda, because it never would have given birth before that. But beyond that point, suffix. And what do you do with the suffix? As Rashi, year of Yochel b'mumo, lebailim, you let it graze, and then when it develops a mum, the bailim gets to eat it. That's if it's an eiz. Rachel, if it's a Rachel, so the age is a little different. Bashtayim is vaday lekohen. If it's bashtayim, it's within its first 2 years of life, then it's vaday lekohen. Mikan ve'elach, suffik. But beyond that, it's considered to be a suffik. Para v'chamar, if it's a para or a chamar, b'no shalosh vaday lekohen. In its first 3 years of life, we assume it definitely goes to the kohen. Mikan ve'elach, suffik. But after that, it's a suffik because it may have had another birth prior to that. So those are the ages where we can assume that this is definitely the first birth, and beyond those ages, we don't assume that it's definitely anything. We have to be concerned that maybe it's not the first birth. So Amalo Rabbi Kiva, Ilu Bevlad Bevlad Habeim Neftaris Kidvarecha. Rabbi Kiva says, look, if the only way that you can ever have an animal that gets out of the parsha of Bechar is by having a viable child, then I understand you'd be 100% correct that within the first year of the Eiz, or the first 2 years of the Rachel, or the first 3 years of the part of the Chamar, there's no way it's having a second child after having had one viable child already. You'd be 100% correct. Ela amru simen avad b'behema daka tinuf u'begas v'shilya u'be'isha shvir v'shilya. But there are forms of miscarriage that happen in different types of animals and in humans, for that matter, where those things could have happened within these time frames, and then the animal have another baby after that. So the fact that a goat, for example, is giving birth to a baby in its first year doesn't necessarily mean that baby is a bechor. It could have had a miscarriage earlier in the year. Could not have had another baby earlier in the year. That would be totally unnatural. But it could have had a miscarriage earlier in the year and is now having a baby. And therefore, you don't really know, even within these time frames, whether it's in fact a Bechar or not. Zaklal, and the rule is, Kol sheyadua shebikra ein kan lekoim klum. If you know that the animal has had a bechor previously, so then obviously the kohen gets nothing right now. V'kol shelo bikra hareza lekoim. If you know that it has not had a baby previously, then obviously it goes to a kohen. V'im safik, and whenever it's a safik, yochel b'mumah lebailim. That's just the basic rule. If it's a safik, so then the bailim, you let it graze until it develops a mum, and then the bailim gets to keep it once it develops a mum. So now says the Gemara, mikan ve'ilach amai safik. Ask the Gemara a very fundamental question. We said once it reaches a certain age and now it gives birth, it's a suffix whether it's a bechor or not. Why is it a suffix? Mikan ve'elach, says the Gemara. Halach achar rov be'emos. Shouldn't we follow rov? And rov be'emos, mesavos v'yoldos, betok shnasa ninu, vavadai me'ler olid. That when we say we follow rov, it doesn't mean that we treat it like a suffix. When we say we follow rov, it means we follow rov, betoras vadai. So if rov be'emos, if rov goats give birth within the first year, if rov rechelim give birth within the first 2 years, if rov parav chamor give birth within the first 3 years, so good. Anytime you have an animal that's reached that age, we should say it's vaday given birth. It's vaday, not mivakeres at this point. It's already been bikra previously. So why is it that we treat it like a suffik? That's what the whole mission seems to be. Mikan ve'ilach suffik. So says Gemara, three possible resolutions as to why it is that we don't follow rov. First possibility is whether we follow rov in the first place at Bitaras Vadai is a machlokas tanaim all over Shas. So Rabbi Shmuel Kramer Svile Dechayish Lemiuta. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Meir all over Shas that were Chayshin and Lemiuta. And since you have the Miut, it has to be contended with. We don't follow Rov Bitaras Vadai. Good, it says Gemara, second possibility, afilu tem rabbanon. No, we could even be assuming like the rabbanon that we always follow rov, bitaras vadai. Ki az libasa ruba, beruba diise kaman. When do we follow rov, bitaras vadai? That's when it's a rov that's right in front of us where we can count the rov. Kigon, Teisha Chanuyos, the Sanhedrin, Teisha Chanuyos, the classic case, you have 9 stores selling basar shchuta, 1 selling basar nevela, and you find a piece of meat, not that you bought a piece of meat from one of those stores. If you bought a piece of meat from one of those stores, you just don't remember which store you went into, then we have the rule called kavua, kimechsel mechsedami, that's always considered like a 50-50. But if it came, and we learned, but if it came out of the store, and you find it on the street, so then we say that we follow rov. That's a rubadisa, come on, you can count directly in front of you what the rov is. So Teisha Chanuyos, the Sanhedrin, or the case of Sanhedrin. You have a Sanhedrin voting on a Din in a Fasho's case, and it's a 15-8 vote to convict, so we kill the guy, right? So about 8 people voted not to convict, not to kill him. It doesn't matter, we follow the rov. But you can count the judges who said one way or the other. Aval Ruba Delese Kaman, Loazi Rabban Basaruba. But when it's a Ruba Delese Kaman, then the Rabbanan do not follow the Rov. Meaning the Rabban would not say that the Rov is followed Bitoras Vadai when it's a Ruba Delese Kaman. Ruba Delese Kaman, it just means it's the way things happen. It's not that there's a statistic that that you're able to count in front of you. It's just the way things usually go. So in fact, many places in Shas, we use a different word for Ruba Delese Kaman. The Gemara will use the word Chazaka for Ruba Delese Kaman. The word Chazaka is a tricky word because it means 5 different things throughout Shas. That's one of the tricky things in Shas, is sometimes you have 2 different words that mean exactly the same thing, like Ruba Delese Kaman and Chazaka. Sometimes you have the same exact word that means entirely different things, like Chazaka as a form of Kinyan, right? Kesef Shtar Chazaka is way to be Kona Karka, so Chazaka means Nal Gadur Paratz. That's got nothing to do with Ruba Delese Kaman, which in turn has nothing to do with 3 years on Karka, meaning all the different words, all the different meanings of a single word Chazaka. But okay, but Ruba Delese Kaman, maybe the Rabbanan don't follow Rov. So says Rav Katan and Katana de Ruba de Leise Kaman. But wait, the case of Katan and Katana is Ruba de Leise Kaman, Vikazi Rabbanan Bas Ruba, and the Rabbanan do follow the Rov. What does it mean? What's the case? It's none. Katan and Katana lo choltsin v'lom liyavmin de Rameir. Rameir holds that Katan and Katana can neither do chalitza nor yibum. So Amrlo the Chum said, Yafa Martashein choltsin. I understand very well that a Katan and Katana cannot do chalitza. Ish kasav beparsha, that it says ish, and that's why I know that a katan cannot do chalitza, because ish means an adult, and once a katan can't do it, neither can a katana, because a makshinan ish al ish. But matam ein miyavmin. Why can't yibum be done by a katan? Samlem katan shema yimtzesris. Because you don't know if this katan is ever going to physically mature, and if it turns out that he's a sris, it would turn out that there is no mitzvah of yibum. There's no mitzvah of yibum by a sris. Ketana shema timtzailinis. If she's a katana, who knows? Maybe she'll never physically mature. She'll never become a chayiv in yibum, because only if she physically matures is she ever chayiv in yibum. She might be an islandess. Venimtzu pogan be'erva. It's very risky by yibum, because yibum is eishes achiv. Eishes achiv is one of the arayos. It's only b'makom mitzvah that we allow it. So if you're risking that it might not be makom mitzvah, because sometimes you have a sris or an islandess. Rabbanon zil basar rov ketanim. Rov ketanim lav srisim ninu. Zil basar rov ketanos. Rov ketanos lav islandess ninu. And the Rabbanon will say, nah, you follow rov. But what do you see? That they follow rov even on a Reuven de Lesser Kavanah. It's not like we line up all ketanim in the world and we counted them and these are the ones that are srisim, these are the ones that are not. It's a Reuven de Lesser Kavanah. So we see the Rabbanon follow rov even b'makom Reuven de Lesser Kavanah. So Elam Rav Michavata Rav Yisrael Krameir Srilei Dechayesh Lemiyuta. So it must be that he holds like Rav Meir who's Choshesh Lemiyuta. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get to the third answer on the top of Daf Chaf Amar Aleph.